When people think of Vegas, they think of bright lights, casinos, gambling, high roller suites, megastars, the entertainment capital of the world. And, yeah, maybe hookers.
Hey, everybody, we're all gonna get laid!
Sorry, Mom, it was only one time. It won't happen again. No longer will everything being said and done in Vegas stay in Vegas.
You know, they say, like, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. But just so you know, like, if we bone, I'm telling everybody.
It's time for Nick's Just Saying, the podcast.
Danger, Will Robinson, danger.
Tackling topics in sports, entertainment, politics, and life, Nick will present it with a laugh.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you, I make you laugh. What do you mean funny? Funny how? How am I funny?
He's more like a middle-aged man that thinks he's funny and sexy hitting on me at the bar, wearing a silk shirt that's unbuttoned and his chest hair and gold chains are showing. Ugh.
Is she looking at me now?
No.
How about now? Is she looking over here now?
No.
You can listen to, follow, and subscribe to Nick's Just Saying, the podcast, at nicksjustsaying.podbean.com. And follow him on Facebook and Twitter at Nick's Just Saying. Nick's Just Saying, the podcast, is on the air. Oh, but before we get started on this episode of Nick's Just Saying, the podcast, big heads off to Kathy, big hats... Hats off to Kathy Griffin for successfully ruining her career. Let's hope this podcast episode isn't that bad. Just saying.
Wow, thanks for the vote of confidence there, man. I appreciate that. Thank you so much, and thank you for being part of the Nick's Just Saying the podcast, episode 6 already, as we continue. We're trying to have a little bit of fun on the program, and it's available for you to download. We're live on Facebook right now. If you have questions, comments, feel free to always chime in at any time. We'll try to monitor those in the Facebook live room, see what we have. I'm looking forward to seeing who's there. One of the things when you get started, though, you know, I'm sitting here, and I'm going, hold on now, work. Now I've got it all working. I hope things are good. And by the way, no hat this week. The haircut was okay. If you remember last week, I was late for the haircut. I wore a cap, and I never wear a cap. Never. All right. Like, you need to know that. You really don't need to know that. Anyway, very happy to have, as our guest on the program, a gentleman who I consider a friend. He is a key member of the Las Vegas Sports Network. You'll hear him hosting shows on Fox here in Vegas, on the ESPN, on NBC, on all of the radio affiliates here in Vegas, and I'm happy to have him on the program. Chris Wynn with us. How are you, Chris?
Outstanding, Nick. It's good to talk to you again, my friend.
Yeah, always. I always enjoy when we get a chance to catch up a little bit. I appreciate you joining me on a little bit of short notice, but you know, it was so stinking hot lately, I just kind of, my brain melted, and I forgot.
Not a problem at all, of course. And this, what, there's a whole heck of a lot going on in the sports world to talk about, so I'm sure we'll find some things to bounce around as well.
Well, yeah, there's definitely a few sports topics. There's a few non-sports topics as well that we could get into, like the knucklehead in the White House. But we'll get to that. Okay, we'll get to that.
Don't threaten me with a good time, buddy.
Don't threaten.
I know. I'm sure we can bounce around a few of these things too.
Oh, but I'm going to warn you right now. Okay,
right.
I want to warn you right this very second that if you don't cooperate with me and you go too far on me, you're getting fired.
Yeah, that sounds like a narrative that would be coming out of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, my friend. That would not shock me whatsoever. And by the way, the next 48 hours are going to be extremely interesting on that front, considering what the ramifications could be. As far as some of the speaking that's going to be going on at Capitol Hill
yeah.
the next couple of days.
Yeah, it's nuts. And, you know, we'll get into sports. But, I mean, I just saw where, you know, USA Today actually just posted something that flashed on my screen here a little while ago that said, you know, they've looked at some of the pages that Comey has sent in already. And he basically said he had to start recording the conversations because he didn't trust them. I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah, I saw a couple of the clips where there was the question of loyalty, and he talked about what President Trump had basically demanded of him and his, what the president's expectations were. And I got to tell you, man, it is, does not look good for our 45th president of the United States. So just the initial reaction as far as what Comey possibly could say tomorrow, and what some, and I haven't had a chance to actually review or see anything as far as the news coverage yet today, where you've got some of the members of the intelligence community who will be testifying today. So it's going to be, I think it's safe to say it's going to be pretty remarkable next couple of days here.
Yeah, it will be. It brings back my memories of when Nixon left office as a kid, because, you know, I remember, and you know, I think you're definitely much younger than me. That's you know, where you are in life, I'm sure. But my age group, I actually remember when he resigned. I remember I was at the Jersey Shore at Long Beach Island, and I remember I was driving to the bakery. And this I remember with my father as a kid, and when it came across the radio that Nixon was resigning, I'm just hoping I hear that soon. I know we're supposed to talk some sports, but I just have to say that. Like, I'm wondering where I'll be when I hear that conversation again.
Well, I thought it was remarkable that, and his name escaped me right now off the top of my head, the gentleman who was the head, I think he was the head of the intelligence, the bald guy, the older guy who was on TV yesterday, and I believe he's in a conference town either in Miami or somewhere down south, and he brought up Watergate and this scenario right now that we're in as far as the government's concerned, and he basically made the reference that Watergate was pale in comparison to what's going on right now with Trump and with Russia and all these allegations out there floating out there, and all these not just allegations, now the facts of the situation. So
yeah,
it's going to be, yeah, it's, if let's put it this way, if I'm the White House right now, I have to be sweating bullets. And hey, look, maybe the way Donald Trump's personality is, maybe he's not sweating bullets. Maybe he's just in a mood to double down, and we might see more doubling and tripling down on Twitter from him throughout the day today and tomorrow. But and it maybe it's just, you know, his staff around him that's probably sweating bullets and yeah, and nervous. But it's it truly is remarkable times we're living in right now, and it's extremely disheartening from my standpoint, being that, you know, it seems to me like facts kind of are negotiable at this point right now. It seems to me that we're living in a time where, you know, if you feel like you need to be in an alternative universe, and you know that you can look at a chair that's black and you can say that it's blue and that's okay. And, you know, it just seems to me that, you know, we're in this just kind of fantasy land right now with some people in America.
Yeah. I'm looking for Tattoo to land the plane in Pennsylvania Avenue.
Yeah. And what's so funny about it, Nick, is that, you know, look, I work in sports media. You know, that's what I, you know, tend to do. I tend to focus on a lot in my life. But I never was a big politics guy up until about 18 months ago, right? When Donald Trump got involved in the fray and, you know, you started to take a look at things, and I can say it right now. I mean, I was a never Trump guy. I just had the feeling that he's someone who's not genuine. I don't believe that he has the best interests of the United States in his heart. And that's when you think of politicians, right? For the most part, you want to think that they believe they're public servants, right? And that is there a certain element of a vanity that goes along with the job? Are there people out there that love the spotlight and want, you know, focus on them? Absolutely. I get that. You know, you're going to have politicians out there who are going to, you know, that's going to be a part of their personality. But at the heart of the matter, from every politician that I can remember, and look, I mean, you said I'm much younger. I was 3 years old when Nixon was tossed out of office back in 1973.
So you remember your Huggies were being changed.
Exactly right.
Okay, I got you.
But as far as politics is concerned, for the most part, every president that I can remember, going back to Jimmy Carter, I can remember that, look, their intentions were good.
Yeah.
And they were looking out for the best of the country, best for the people of the United States. And that's where their premise was, and that's what they based a lot of their ideology on. And I just don't feel that way with this president. And that's what makes it different. I think there's a lot of people that would echo what I'm saying as far as that's concerned with him. And so, you know, I just don't believe that he has America's best interest in mind. I think it's all about promoting the Trump brand and, you know, and making as much money possible for, you know, the Trump organization. There was never any, you know, there was never any effort to basically, you know, slow down his corporation or anything like that. There's no effort to divest by Donald Trump in any way. There was no thought process on that. I mean, transfer the business over to your kids and you think that's okay. And there's all kinds of conflicts of interest that still present themselves. So for me, I mean, it's just unbelievable. You know, his mindset and the way that he approaches things. And then on top of that, you have all this nonsense going on now with him, with the tweets and the, you know,
it's the
possibility of Russian Nick and all this. And that just adds to it and creates even more apprehension on my part.
Yeah. Hey, Chris Wynn's our guest on the podcast today. Hey, I see we got San Francisco in the house. What's up, Mike? Glad he's here. He's telling me happy hump day. He's letting us know. We love to do that. But, you know, Chris, as I say, we could probably go on absolutely all day about that because I think we both are of the same mind on that. And who knows, we may touch on that a little bit more. But, okay, you're the sports guy, so let's get into a little bit of this. All right, let's start with the NBA Finals a little bit, okay? Here we've got Golden State, you've got Cleveland. Leading up to this series, the world was making the comparison. Hey, LeBron's better than MJ. No, MJ's better than LeBron. He's the greatest of all time. This team could win a bunch. Now they go two games in with the Warriors. They look like they don't belong on the court two games in. Now that could change. Two games in. And now the dialogue is shifting. It's not LeBron versus MJ. Now it's the Warriors versus MJ's team as being the best ever, the Bulls team. I mean, are we... As a sports media, are we like rushing to judgment just to try to have something to talk about that we bring up these ideas of this one's better than that one and they played in different eras? I don't think you can measure it personally.
I think we are trying to maybe create a story here that really isn't, in my opinion, at this point. There's a lot of people that expect that, I think, a much better series.
Right.
From you know, as far as the concern between the Warriors and the Cavaliers. After seeing what went down last year under very different circumstances, by the way, when you had, of course, the suspension of Draymond Green, you had multiple injuries, you got obviously a huge wild card in that you didn't have a player the caliber of Kevin Durant that was dictating a lot of what's going on in last year's series. So it's just two different teams, a different series, yet because of what we were able to see last year, Game 7, exciting series where it went back and forth, and you had a team that was up 3-1 and eventually losing the series. I think that's what everybody was kind of expecting, right? And the way that the regular season played out, Nick, right, where you had two teams that were basically a couple of freight trains heading towards each other, and you wanted to create some stories and get things going. What's a great one to do? Oh, it's the one about who's the greatest player of all time and who are a couple – let's throw a couple players – who we think are our top five and discuss who's better, you know? Yeah. So I think that's one of the reasons why you hear that. And so, you know, look, I just kind of like to focus on the series and I don't want to say I'm a realist or anything, but when you see a team that goes up 2-0 and the only major difference, and this is no disrespect to, you know, the likes of Kyle Korver, or anybody else that's in the series.
Go
that
ahead,
wasn't in it.
Say it. You don't have to be politically correct on this podcast.
Yeah, but not yet. to some other guys that weren't in the series last year or the last 2 years, right? There's one guy in this series who is playing like his hair is on fire, who doesn't have a championship ring, right, out of these two teams. That's significant. That's played a big, significant role, and that's Kevin Durant. I mean, he's just out there playing like, hey, the rest of these, thinking these rest of these guys at both these squads have rings, right? If you're a Cavalier, you played last year, you got a ring. If you were a member of the Warriors 2 years ago, you got a ring.
Yep.
And so, and he is absolutely imposing his will in the series as of right now. and playing like someone who says, hey, I don't want to have any asterisks next to my name, that I, you know, I was the one who joined this super team, and because if I can't beat them, I'm joining them. I don't want there to be any doubt as to how much of an impact I had on the squad and the ability for this team to win a championship. And so he's going out there and absolutely playing like it. So I think it's going to be remarkable to see. Do the Cavaliers have a chance? No question. Both teams, you know, they put their shorts on and their shoes on the same way. And I would say they do have a chance. And many experts are analyzing it and saying, sure, hey, Cavaliers, if they can win a game in the series, it's probably going to be game three. But at the same time, I think people are sound of mind and are that are being rational are saying it's more of a matter of time as opposed to the outcome of what the series is going to be.
And I'm with you pretty much on that. But, you know, I throw some things out there, and one of the things, you know, not in the series, when we hear all these conversations, who's the best all-time, who's this all-time, who's that all-time, you know, I'm going to tell you, and you can argue with me on this if you'd like a little bit, because I'm actually not of the mind that I'm even positive that Jordan is the best of all time.
I'm pretty much dead set as a lifelong Pistons fan who absolutely had hatred for Michael Jordan, anything Chicago Bulls.
Right.
Didn't like the Boston Celtics either, to be honest with you.
Me either. I hated the Celtics as a Sixers
fan. I have complete respect, though, for that 1986 Boston Celtics team. Larry Bird is one of the greatest players of all time, no question. And those Bulls teams were unbelievable. And in my opinion, that 97-98 Chicago Bulls team is the greatest team of all time. That's in my opinion, because I think about, you know, you talked about at the top of the show that it's tough to compare because of eras.
Yeah, it is.
But I think that you had just a tremendous era of teams back in the 90s that, you know, at any time could have been very competitive. It would have been fun to see those mid-90s Houston Rockets teams take on those Chicago Bulls teams. You had those great Piston and Laker teams from the early 90s. And,
yeah, you know, and I'm gonna play Homer here right now, okay? And this is part of why I say I think it's hard to compare. I think a lot of people, you know, we think when we think of hoops, you know, and we think of the big rivalries, you hear Celtics Lakers, right? You heard, yeah, you know, you had the Bulls and their run. What people fail to remember, and this goes back in the, you know, late 70s, early 80s, what they fail to remember, those Celtics Lakers rivalries were great. But in that span, there was a time where it was every other year it was Philly. It was Philly, they were playing constantly with the Celtics, big rivalry, and people kind of forget, like, great teams. Now, they didn't win a ton of them, but they did win. I mean, you're looking at a team in Philly at that time when the Celtics and the Lakers were huge, you know, that had Moses Malone and Julius Irving. I mean, that are arguably, you know, two of the all-time greats in the game. And you threw in a Mo Cheeks, who was a, you know, super point guard in his day, and you had guys. So I guess what I'm getting at too is, I when I hear all this conversation, who's the best all time? And again, you have your feeling that it's Jordan and that Bulls team. I'm not sold on that, and it's probably because I've also seen a little more of what led up to that Bulls greatness. And I remember the days, you know, a little bit when the NBA wasn't even live on TV. And I look at some of the teams, and, you know, I just think the game has evolved so differently from where it used to be. Okay, when I grew up and I looked at things, I'll be honest with you, I thought Wilt was the greatest player I've ever seen. And I still, while he didn't have the championship rings, because he didn't quite have, you know, that cast that Russell was able to have with the Celts, I thought he was... you know, as good as anyone in the history of the league, and they changed the rules because of him. The lane got widened because there was no way to defend him. He was the birth of the big man. And so, like, when I argue, is it Jordan? I still look, hey, in my mind, he didn't have all the rings, but it might have been Wilt. I look at the great teams. I see that Bulls team. You know, we talk about the Dubs right now with the Warriors, but I also, you know, I look at those Lakers, the Celts, the Sixers. I look at some of those teams, and I think that it's impossible to measure, And I don't know that you can make an honest statement who's the best, because I really think it's your perspective of where what you've seen in your lifetime.
Well, I'll piggyback what you just said, Nick. We had a caller into our show last week because we were talking about the great teams of all time. And I know we're kind of bouncing back and forth between players and teams.
That's
but,
fine.
But the caller was a guy who grew up rooting for the Sixers, and he brought up that 83 team and how great they were. And I was not aware of their playoff record. They were absolutely unbelievable as far as the playoffs that year in 83.
Moses Malone.
I believe they lost one game, right?
Yeah.
They're one of those teams that lost one game.
Chris, I
give
you
this. In the playoffs, that team was loaded up, man.
Yeah, it was. Let me tell you this. Before that series, before that playoff run started, if you were in Philadelphia, the famous, and it's going to sound like I'm making fun. People, please don't believe it. I'm trying to. But the big thing in Philly was he said, we're going to win it in faux. He was predicting a full, because it was just three series, and they were going to sweep them all. That was what, faux. That's what it was. That was Moses' prediction, and along the way, they only lost one game. So it was much reminiscent of what we're seeing with the Warriors right now.
And what's remarkable, and you brought up, of course, the comparison that a lot of people were making last week as far as LeBron James and Michael Jordan, who was greater. In game two, of course, you had Mark Jackson and a couple other people brought up this whole, you know, who's the greatest duo debate across social media. It went crazy after, I believe it was Mark Jackson or someone said that that these two were the greatest duo with Kevin Durant and Steph Curry to ever play together.
Right.
And so everyone just started getting fired up on social media and throwing out their greatest duos of all time, and the debate was on. And I kind of thought, I put this on Twitter, I thought that, you know, when you look at what these two guys bring to the table, you look at the fact that both of them have won MVPs, right? Which is pretty remarkable.
Yes.
And so I thought, look, it was tough to argue with them. You can still argue who the two best players of all time that played together are, and you go down the list, there's been a number of them that are outstanding. But, you know, to have two players that were MVP caliber, I think was the key to the question. So when that came up, I also thought that sparked some debate also.
Yeah, it is. Chris Winch joining us on the program. You hear Chris, he's a fine sports talk host here in Las Vegas. You'll hear him on Fox Sports, ESPN, the NBC affiliate, all part of the LV Sports Network. Always happy to have him on board. But, you know, as you say, you know, Chris, it is an argument, but it's just one of those things, I guess. You know, look, we're in the business of stirring conversation, right? That's what we do. Our whole existence as talk show hosts is to stir conversation. And every once in a while, let's be honest, there's not a damn bit of good things to grab onto. So we try to find sometimes, we manufacture these, you know, what if scenarios or who's a little bit better. And the truth is, I'm going to say this about us. And you can disagree if you'd like. I'm good with that. Is that I think sometimes we do a disservice to all the parties involved as to who's the greatest, who's maybe a little underneath. Because I think the truth of the matter is we have to have a reason. There's a reason we're enjoying them. Enjoy them. Don't necessarily sit here and split hairs that this guy is, you know, is this much better than a guy that played 20 years ago. I think we need to enjoy it all, but we as hosts, sometimes we just like pushing buttons just for the sake of we need a listener.
Well, you know what the best part about it is that you'll never be right. You'll never absolutely know. Because you're talking about players who played in different eras. It's like trying to say, you know, oh, this guy, what if this guy would have played in this era? With Michael Jordan, if he played in today's game, he would average 45, 50 points a game. I mean, you can make statements like that, and it can create a debate, like you said, and it can stir the pot and get people fired up for sports radio. But the fact of the matter is, we'll never really know.
No.
And nobody's going to be absolutely right. Nobody's going to be absolutely wrong.
Hey, I got an idea. We need to do what they did in the movie Balboa, Rocky Balboa, and we need to have computer-generated images and then eventually bring back a guy that's 112 years old to play against a guy that's 30.
I mean, I guess there's a couple ways you could do it, Nick. You know, you get the video games out.
Yeah.
People bust out the, you know, the PlayStation 4, and you're playing NBA 2017, and you can bring the old school players in and get them in the mix, and you get a computer generated show of what they would have done. But other than that, you're not going to be able to do it. So, as much as it's a fantasy that all us sports fans would love to be able to do, is, you know, put that 1989 Detroit Pistons team up against the 97 Bulls and see what they do. Put that 2015 Golden State Warriors squad on the floor against that 86 Celtics squad and see Larry Bird and Steph Curry go out there and shoot it up against each other. It'd be awesome to check that out. But the fact of the matter is, it's never going to be a reality. We'll never actually see. So
yeah.
even if you get into a debate, even if you get into an argument with somebody, nobody's going to have absolute truth, and no one's going to be absolutely right and know exactly
well,
what the deal would have been.
Absolutely
so
right, though,
that's what makes it fun, though, I guess.
Chris Whitman. Hey, Chris, you know, when we look at these, it's just – I guess it is a lot of fun at times, but it seems, though, and you tell me if I'm wrong with this, you know, as I look at things, and we know this, but these kind of debates – in today's day and age, in sports, no matter how we come up with it, when we do it, because of social media, these debates seem to take on their own lives and a lot of times just branch out in places that we never thought they would go. Do you find that with your conversation sometimes?
Well, it just expanded the debate to more people, and more people get... because more people have a voice, Nick, if you think about it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, social media... it gives people an opportunity to chime in on any given moment. I mean, there are times throughout the day when I do have some free time where I can, you know, where I jump on the web, and it doesn't matter what it's about, whether it's politics, whether it's sports, whether it's about, you know, entertainment for that matter. People will start up a debate just by making one comment, whether it be on Twitter, Facebook, or whatever, and all of a sudden there'll be people chiming in that you don't even know. Right, that aren't in your daily lives. It's kind of like, you know, back in the day when we didn't have the internet and people would be in a bar or some type of social gathering, and you would everybody would have their opinions, but you'd only be able to have, you know, Uncle Joey or Aunt Joyce,
no,
Aunt Joyce,
I
or someone
DiMaggio.
Else chiming in.
No,
you
no,
know
Garrett,
what I'm saying?
DiMaggio.
I'm bringing out the Italian, my friend. You know, the Italians get fired up.
Yeah.
Or, you know, for a lot of my African American friends at the barbecue, where, you know, that they would start arguing over, you know, who is the greatest boxer of all time or whatever, right? And so you would only have those people chiming in about the topic at hand. now you can jump on Facebook, and it could be your friends, it could be your friends' friends, it could be, you know, someone that you've never actually met face to face, who's going to just go in and opine on whatever topic it is that's the topic of the day or topic of the moment, and is going to start firing at you and giving their perspective and their opinion and expect a recourse and expect a, you know, kind of a banter back and forth. So that to me, I mean, look, there's a lot of things that I think you could consider quote unquote wrong or have issues with when it comes to the internet, but me, I like that. I like the debate. I like to be able
too.
To, you know, kind of get bounce back and forth with people as far as thoughts and opinions on sports or whatever it is.
No, see,
as far as the news of the day is concerned.
Yeah, Chris, you know, that's where I go with you. I agree with you. I actually think that while many of us, and me included, I raise my hand sometimes. Oh, by the way, if anybody's watching on Facebook and you see the TV on behind me, we just did the Italian thing. I have The Godfather going on right now. anyway, it's behind me. I didn't realize what I had on, but The Godfather is on right now. But what I was about to say is, you know, a lot of us, we do, you know, you'll hear whenever somebody doesn't hear what they want to hear on social media, if you're a Trump guy and you're hearing people blast Trump, if you were a Hillary person and you hear them blasting Hillary, if you're a Warriors and the Cavs are getting blasted, whatever it is, we at that point all turn around and go, ah, this is terrible. This social media, this stinks. It's awful. But the truth of the matter is, if you take it for what it is. It's exactly what you just said. It's an extended barstool conversation. It just allows more people to get in, and people are allowed to have their own stinking opinion, even if it's wrong sometimes. Okay, you're allowed to have an opinion. And that's one of the things I love about social media. However, the one thing I always hate is when people just go too far. That's always my issue. But I think a lot of us look at it, it's positive when it's doing something we like, and it's negative when it works against us, a la see the White House.
Well, when you say too far, I think of things like, you know, when you have family members who are unfriending other family members because of, you know, either political debates or what have you, when it comes to issues on the internet that are getting debated. When it starts to get to that point where you have people who, you know, are the same blood that are unfriending each other, or you have friends who have been, you know, say best friends for like 20, 30 years, and then all of a sudden, you know, a debate just gets so heated that they decide that that it affects everything else in their life. And that, look, you know, I understand what I am. I'm a sports talk show host. I live in Las Vegas. I have a decent job. I make decent money. I'm not in a position right now, I think, where even the worst of Donald Trump's policies are going to have a major impact on my life. So it's more of an ideology thing with me and him. And, right. And I just completely disagree with basically everything he stands for, but it's not going to directly affect my, like, whatever he, you know, is involved with as far as the government's concerned, and whatever he tries to implement, whether it goes through or not, it's not going to really directly affect my life as a person, right? Right, exactly. So it's not something that's, it's no immediate impact on me, yet I still have my feelings towards him. I still have my, you know, feelings towards the way that he represents our nation.
Well, it's not.
I guess my point is being, it's not life or death for me. Okay.
Well, you know, let me
and
ask
for
you
a
question.
Lot of people, you'd be shocked. And look, for a lot of people across the web, when they talk about him and they talk about the way the direction the country's going in, and some of the things that he can actually get done, they talk about it like it's, you know, like it's going to have a major life or death impact on their life. And so, And this relates directly to Trump supporters. I mean, Trump supporters, if nothing, they're extremely loyal, and they are going to back him to the end, for the most part, you know. When you get into a debate with a Trump supporter, it's kind of fascinating because they come at it from an angle where they think they're in the majority, right? They think that they're I'm a Trump supporter, and he's president of the United States, and the American people elected him, so, you know, he has a mandate, and, you know, anything he says or whatever it is that he wants to implement, most of America agrees with it and wants it done. That's kind of the position they come from. Sometimes I have fun with it. I have to, you know, basically remind them of the facts, which are is that a majority of the people do not want him to be president of the United States. You know, a majority of people voted for somebody else besides Donald Trump to be president of the United States. And he absolutely does not have a mandate. Are there certain things that he believes in that a lot of America would love to see implemented? There probably is. But for the most part, a lot of this nonsense that he's pushed for as far as, you know, the quote-unquote travel ban, which is really a Muslim ban, and other things that he's been trying to put into place are really not popular across the country. So that's always something that's fun for me is kind of the approach, I guess, Nick, of the Trump supporter when it comes to social media and the way that they love to engage in the debate.
Gotcha.
And come at it from an angle like, is there a room full of like 20 people, and they come at it from an angle like I've got 15 of them that are standing behind me in this fight that's about to break out.
Hey, Chris, you got a comment from Paul in North Carolina who said he agrees with you 100%. It's very slim that any of the decisions are going to affect too many of us, you know, in an everyday life. He agreed with you. He wanted to kind of give you a thumbs up on that. I just wanted to tell you that.
And that's a tribute, really, Nick, to, you know, the state of our country. Do we have issues? Absolutely.
Sure.
Do we have things that need to be fixed? There's no question about it. But we still live in a country, and I honestly believe this, that you're not going to find any other country in the world that you'd rather be a citizen of, in my opinion. There's no other place in America, I believe, that you'd want to be living with quality of life that we have here, and with, you know, our Constitution, with the freedoms that we have, and with the opportunities I think that people have. It's second to none, in my opinion. And as far as, you know, if you put everything together, not just, you know, what we have available to us, but also, you know, what our history represents, I think is it's a great place to be.
Yeah. Chris Wynn hanging out with us here. He's a fine host here in Las Vegas, the LV Sports Network. You hear him on Fox and ESPN and NBC and all over the place. And, you know, we talk about, you know, America, we've got a great foundation in America, right? That's Chris, we feel that way. Now I want to talk Vegas. There's people out there. We got a Stanley Cup playoff, but I think the people in Vegas are a little, while they're watching the Stanley Cup, all they want is for it to end because they want to lay a foundation for a new hockey team in Vegas. A lot of people are excited over the Knights. Are you pumped up?
Oh, absolutely. There's no question about it. Somebody who grew up in just outside of hockey town with growing up a Detroit Red Wings fan and all the history there.
Marty.
I'm extremely juiced up, Nick, to see a brand new franchise come to Las Vegas. It happens to be an NHL franchise, so it's going to be the beginning of a new era here in town where, look, for years it's been all about UNLV basketball and maybe a little bit about UNLV football. But it's been minor league franchises. For the most part, you've had ECHL, you've had other hockey league franchises, you've had, of course, the Las Vegas 51s, the AAA affiliate of the Mets here. But now you're going to have one of the leagues, and I've said this before many times, look, it's about having the best of the best. That's what Vegas does.
Right.
They love having all the best comedians, the best entertainers, you know, the best of everything always ends up being, you know, the greatest show on earth. Here in Vegas, and so now they're going to have the best hockey league on display here. And the way that the NHL is set up, you're absolutely right. Stanley Cup Finals going on right now, and it's going to turn out to be a great series, in my opinion. When you got a 2-2 setup, both teams have won both games at home, and it's going to be an exciting finish. You've got three more games left
in
the season, but all the hockey fans here in Vegas, all they can think of is let's get this thing over with so we can start the off season. It's the first off season that the Vegas Golden Knights have been in the league, and the NHL I think has set it up so that you now have a better chance, I think, the best chance in the NHL's history to have, you know, a competitive team on the ice for expansion teams,
right.
And so they're going to get obviously a solid player base, in my opinion, because you're going to have some quality players that are going to be left available.
Right.
They're in the mix when it comes to free agents. I saw a story, three or four days ago,
right,
where, you know, Alex Ovechkin, you know, is going to be, there's a possibility that he could end up in a Vegas Golden Knights uniform. And that, it's just so surreal, you know, someone who's lived in Vegas for 13 years. And when I first got here, it would have been preposterous, Nick, to think that there would have been an NHL franchise, any franchise from one of the big four major sports leagues that was going to have a tenant here in Vegas. And now you've got an NHL team, and even as recently as like 2011, 2012, if you would have mentioned, hey, NFL franchise coming to Vegas. What do you think about that? They would have laughed in your face.
They would have put
been all over
jacket.
You, hammering you, saying, you are out of your freaking mind. There's no way Vegas is going to get the NFL to come. There's too much animosity between the league and the city and what it stands for. And now, you know, 2020, 2021, if something crazy happens and, you know, it takes longer to get the stadium going, you're going to have one of the premier franchises of the National Football League here in Vegas in a spectacular brand new stadium. We're truly living in remarkable times when it comes
kidding.
To sports here in Vegas, and it's going to be fun to have a catbird seat and check it out, Nick.
No, I agree, Chris Wynn. You know, I'm excited for it. You know, for the Knights to come into town, I really am. I'm looking forward to it. Of course, when they have the awards, they're going to be picking their players right there while the awards are going. It's really a cool time to be here in Vegas. You know, and people are now, and that's what's interesting. You know, when you mentioned the Raiders, and people are now, I think they're looking at Vegas a little bit differently when outsiders now talk about Vegas. I mean, you know, I've only been here, I'm here just a little shy of 6 years. And when I, you know, when I came here, you know, I kind of knew the gambling. You know, I didn't think, 6 years ago, I didn't think they'd get a professional franchise when I got to town. Didn't think it would happen. But the whole perspective on Vegas, totally changing. I think it's done a 180 from what people thought it was to what, you know, how people see it now. And, you know, as a person here, though, I don't know how you can't be pumped. And I also don't know, even if you're a fan of another team, how you can't be pumped to think, you know what? The Flyers are coming to town. I'm a Flyer fan. I'm going to go to Vegas and watch them. Or I'm a Red Wings fan. Let's go to Vegas and watch them. I mean, it's going to open up so many avenues. I think we're going to have one of the most unique crowds you will see anywhere in America in both stadiums.
Well, there's no question about it, Nick, right? The perception has changed. You know, the whole view of Vegas has changed. And it's, I would assume, I mean, I'm not any kind of social expert as far as, you know, of what American society over the last 15, 20 years. But it's just, I have a feeling that it's just not taboo as it used to be.
No.
Las Vegas. People, look, I mean, it's become much more accepted in American society, the whole angle of gambling. It's not thought of as, you know, it's a sleazeball thing where, you know, Atlantic City and Las Vegas, these like seedy towns that, you know, they're
don't
the only
on
place
Jersey,
in America. Right. But you know what I'm saying, though? There was this thought out there that, you know, if you just want to go there, it's just because you want to get into the decadence and the, you know, all the stuff that you can't do when you're at your, you know, at your suburban hometown or your wholesome city or wherever it is
right.
that you grew up or wherever it is that you live. You know, you can't bust out and do that. It's just not the case anymore. You have so many cities and towns around America where you've got casinos either close by or basically right downtown. And, you know, it was funny, I was watching Poker After Dark the other day on NBC Sports Network. Nick, and they were showing it, the event was at the Sugar House, which apparently is like right in downtown in the Fishtown section, I believe, of Philadelphia.
Yep.
And I'm like, and I'm thinking to myself, and you know, of course, me being from Michigan, Detroit for a number of years has had casinos downtown, so they've already made the jump. And there's major cities around the country now that have either casinos right in the city limits or they have them in Indian reservations around or close by, many major urban areas. So the acceptance is there. It's been a transition moving forward, you know, I think for the last 20, 30 years. So I think it's been more of a gradual thing. People understand. But as far as Las Vegas is concerned, I mean, it's just, and as far as getting sports franchises, it really changes the landscape of things. And you mentioned, of course, the Flyers and it's just going to be a destination. It's just it's one more reason to get people to come into the town.
I know.
Is that you're going to have these big-time matchups, whether it be at T-Mobile Arena with the NHL or whether it be at the brand-new Raiders Stadium with the Raiders. You're going to have an event every Sunday in the NFL where you're going to have a large swath of people, whatever the team it is they're playing, are going to be rolling into town, and it's going to be an event.
Yeah.
Over a couple of days or 2-3 days, and that's what Vegas does good. That's their thing. Is that they love putting on events. They love getting people here to showcase things, and just you've seen it just in the last couple of years with the T-Mobile Arena opening, that it's given many more options as far as big fights, whether it be UFC or boxing matches, whether it's you know, events that the T-Mobile Arena has housed. It's been very beneficial to the city. So once the new football stadium is here, it's going to even add to that.
Yeah. Chris Wynn hanging out with us. Chris, you know, the one thing that I you know what? I don't want to put you on the spot. I know you work for the flagship for the Knights. I know that's your thing. So you can zip your lip if you want. Okay. I'm going to say one thing that I hope happens, but I don't think will happen, and I don't know if you're willing to chime in on. My only concern is I think Vegas is a city, you know, Sin City. It's a city with an edge, okay? The thought of the Raiders sounds right because the Raiders have that edge to them. The Knights are brand new. My concern with the Knights is they won't embrace that edge, and that the owner, that Foley is going to try to make this a little too buttoned up for the city of Vegas with the mottos, with the logos, with the way that, with what's played. I'm a little concerned about that. I know I'm real early in that thought process, I think, but some of the things I hear them say, I want the hockey team to have an edge. And I don't mean an edge on it. I want the fans in the whole arena to kind of have a Vegas, a little bit of a Vegas underbelly, if you will.
I understand your point. I can see where you're coming from. And look, I can chime in. I'm not going to, you know, okay, hold back on this. This is a deal where Bill Foley, I can understand where you're coming from there. I don't necessarily know what that means as far, what that translates as far as, you know, the marketing of the team and how they exactly go about doing it. But I do see what Bill Foley has done as far as trying to promote the team and trying mm-hmm. to get people excited. And I think he's trying to make it more about a team that can be enjoyed, I guess, more than just in Las Vegas, because he had that mm-hmm. whole theme he came out with where he talked about how he wanted to make it the team of the Rockies, right?
Right.
And they've enlisted Root Network, which is a television network, I believe, that's done a lot of stuff with the Denver market, right, with the teams in Denver. They've also done a lot of stuff with, I believe, Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah, Pittsburgh and around, yeah, and you know, yeah, in his hometown, his home state.
Yeah, so he's somebody who's looking not only to have the Golden Knights be huge in Vegas and in Nevada, for that matter, but he's also looking at some other the surrounding states that don't necessarily have an allegiance to any other team. Now we have the Colorado Avalanche, of course, directly to the north and to the east that are a big time franchise, but as far as, you know, the Idahos and the Montanas and the North and South Dakotas and the Arizonas, although they have the Coyotes, but New Mexico City, you know, right, states like that where he's looking to get the actual, I guess, I'm looking for the right word. He's looking to get the attention in those areas.
Line.
Yeah, and he wants the focus of his team to be, in those states to be on his team. So I get that. I think that's a good thing. Easier said than done because you're talking about an expansion team and
right,
you're not going to have people who are going to be, you know, going to games, obviously, that live in those states unless they're in Vegas. But I think it's a good thing for him to get that going and to have and hope that he can generate interest in those areas that, let's face it, aren't exactly traditionally hockey-friendly type areas where, you know, you'd expect to have a huge allegiance.
I guess,
yeah. But there are legitimate questions, Nick. No question. There's legitimate questions as to, you know, the success of this franchise, yeah, what going forward. You know, people are always speculating, saying, oh, you know, it's a brand-new franchise. It's Vegas. It'll be one of those things where for one or two seasons they'll get a pass and they'll still pack the house. But until they start winning, it's not really going to be as popular as people think. And, you know, there's people out there that don't like hockey or that have no connection to the sport that aren't sold and think, you know, of all the franchises you bring to Vegas first,
yeah,
you're going to bring the NHL.
Well, you know, Chris, what I see, like, just take this. I'm sorry to cut you, but why it's on my brain here. I want to bring it up. But you look at the Stanley Cup Finals right now. I look at Nashville, and I look at the mm-hmm. Predators, and I was in Tennessee working when the Predators were, you know, quote unquote, cutting their teeth and trying to become a real franchise. I brought them to the Chattanooga market with the station I was at. I was part of that deal to make that happen. And I love Bridgestone Arena. And one of the reasons I like the Bridgestone Arena and is why I'm saying what I'm saying about Vegas here that I hope they do is one of the things, I know a lot of people make fun of it, but like Nashville brings out the cut. We know Nashville, country music. It's Music City. That's what it is. And they actually put a stage in Bridgestone Arena on the side. And in between periods,
you know, you'd get some of the up-and-comers there, and they would perform between periods. You'd get the big names out. And what I'm hoping, like, I picture that same scenario in Vegas. We have every show under the sun, and I want to see them really play into that. I want to see them have that Vegas edge about how they perform the peripheral around what's on the ice. And that's what I'm hoping. And I'm just a little concerned that they don't see it that way. And I think it'll be a mistake if they don't see it that way.
Well, I think there's a lot of newness too here, where people are, you know, coming at it from like this is just unprecedented. We've never seen it before. They don't, you know, maybe, you know, it's kind of like we want to go the way of like of some of the recent expansion teams, whether it be the Blue Jackets, whether it be the Predators, where, you know, they kind of approach it from that angle. And so there might not be that expertise, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
When it comes to how you approach it. And it's still, look, there's still things that need to be done. I mean, yeah, they do have a TV and radio deal. Obviously, Bill Foley's the owner. You've got a general manager in McPhee and a head coach in Gerard Gallant, but there's no players.
Right.
So, like, and there's still a lot of the infrastructure hasn't been set up. I mean, they do have, I believe, a social media team, and they have people in place, but they don't really have a media department. They don't really have, I'm not exactly sure, but as far as, like, their sales staff, I'm sure they're staffing that up right now. And so it's like you're in the third or fourth month of a 9-month pregnancy, right? So
yeah, I guess
they still have some things that they're kind of working out, and
when I hear the comment, and again, I want to preface all this with, man, I am stoked they're here, and I'm happy, and I'm just using my little bit of my talk show mentality and my cynical eye at times, but like, you know, I hear the commercial that runs, oh, our chant's going to be Go Knights Go. No, it needs to be sexier than that. It's got to be better than that. Just my opinion. It's got to be, you know, like the nickname of the arena. You know, I still love this Sin Bin. I think that's a great idea.
Oh, there's no doubt. And look, but there is going to be, you know, top of the state-of-the-art, it's going to, you know, edge of your seat kind of,
it's a great arena.
Technology that's going to be on display here. You're going to have one of the best arenas in the NHL, Nick. You know,
it's great arena.
It's gonna be unbelievable. So, yeah, so I think they're starting from that. It is 2017, so they've got to jump on a lot of other franchises when it comes to the use of social media and other aspects where they can generate interest in the team. So, I think from that standpoint, the team's going to be fine because they're gonna, you know, they're gonna have the best of the best that they're available. To them to utilize as they get things revved up here in the next few months to start the first inaugural season.
Yeah, no, and hey, Chris, again, I you know, just observations. I'm pumped. Hey, I'm on the season ticket list, so I'm, you know, not the whole thing because I don't make that much money, but a partial. You know, I'm not that rich, but, you know, I'm on it, and I'm stoked, and I'm just mad they haven't got big enough sizes of shirts yet. I'm looking for some. Actually, the guy told me the other day he'll have some in. But we've been chatting here. Chris Wynn, he's a great host with the Las Vegas Sports Network here in Vegas. You hear him on Fox Sports Radio, ESPN Radio here, NBC Radio. You hear him all over the place. He is kind of the best utility man in the sport. Here.
It's like I am the sixth man, Nick, and with all the moving parts right now over at Lotus, where we got, you know, obviously hosts shifting around, and the show that I was on a lot over on Fox is no longer now because we have a situation where we have our buddy Frank Harnish is hosting a hockey show, the Golden Knights Insider, now from 2 to 3, which I'll be on today, by the way.
Oh, will you? Okay, cool.
We'll be talking. We got Eddie Garcia, who's a national host for Fox Sports Radio. He's going to be joining us.
Cool.
But we got a lot of moving parts over there. So right now, the show that I used to be on, it's only an hour now with Seat, and there's a possibility that he could be moving stations. So we don't really know exactly what's going to be going down. And it is pretty cool, though, to be over there just for the fact that they got – 3 sports radio stations out of, I believe, like 5 or 6 in the entire Las Vegas market. So
sure.
It makes it a lot of fun, but it's a little bit of uncertainty right now as far as where I'll be and what's going to be going on over there.
You'll always be welcome with anything I'm doing, my friend. And Chris, I appreciate the time, and let's do this again soon, and we'll talk. And thanks for your frankness, your ability to get on with me here last minute, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Hey, Nick, I appreciate it. Looking forward to this Stanley Cup final. We're down to 3 games. Going to decide it.
Let the catfish be thrown.
I got one quick point. You got to love this atmosphere in Nashville, man.
I love Nashville.
You got Music City. You got country music stars out there checking the hockey out. You got the fans chucking catfish out on the ice.
I love it.
It's giving a little flavor. And look, you got the Pittsburgh Penguins in there, a team with a ton of history that's won cups, and you got some of the greatest players on both the defensive side and the offensive side, of course, with Sidney Crosby and P.K. Subban for the Nashville Predators. It's going to be a ton of fun watching these last three games.
And like I said, go Preds. I'm good with it, and I'm looking forward to it. And then hopefully someday it'll be the Knights' chance.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Nick, and enjoy the rest of your Wednesday, my friend.
You too. Take care of yourself, Chris. Thanks so much. Chris Wynn with us on the program. Man, we got talking about a bunch of stuff. I'm happy that Chris decided to hang out with us, but I got to tell you, things go really, really fast when you get going here. They really do. They get going really, really fast. And I don't know where time goes, but I appreciate it. A lot of people been here. Mike, Ken, another Mike, Paul was here. Who else was here? James was here. A lot of guys were here. James, I can't find y'all, but I appreciate it. I thank you so much for being part of the program with us each and every week. We record live here on Facebook on Wednesdays at around noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. And then it'll be up at nicksjustsaying.podbean.com. And you can download and follow us in the future. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. From Vegas, Nick's Just Saying the podcast. Have a great week.
And more, much more than this. I did it my way.
Coming to you from studios in fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada, you've been listening to Nick's Just Saying, the podcast. Join Nick again next week for the show. You can download and listen to the show at nicksjustsaying.podbean.com and follow the show on Facebook at Nick's Just Saying, the podcast. You can also follow Nick's Just Saying on Twitter at Nick's Just Saying. Nick's Just Saying podcast talks about sports, entertainment, politics, and life with a laugh. All right, we got through this show today. I'm guessing we can all use a stiff drink about now. Just saying.
And more, much more than this, I did it my way. Yes, there were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew. But through it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up and spit it out. I faced it all, and I tall, and did it my way. I've loved, I've laughed and cried, I've had my fill, my share of losing, and now as tears subside, I find it all so amusing to think I did all